0141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Celtic are in talks over Colombian striker Camilo Duran. Could Youssef Chermiti be on his way to Lyon? Motherwell make a double signing and Ange Postecoglou gets a new job, killing any Scotland talk. I'm Andrew McLean. Joining me in the studio is Hugh Keevans.
Well, one of the great topics of conversations with the World Cup ended is Celtic and the transfer window. Celtic today symbolically become the only Premiership side since the end of last season not to sign any new players. Motherwell broke their duck today, signing two new players. So Celtic, out of 12 teams, they're the only one not to have signed any players. I think the Celtic fans tonight will feel a mixture of anger, frustration and embarrassment because they've been left behind, and they kick off 3rd of August against Dundee at Celtic Park, and here we are 3rd of July, not a player in, and the window will get worse before it gets better for Celtic because Maeda, Hatate and Engels and possibly Nygren all want out.
When it comes to Rangers, there's been a lot of talk about incomings. They've signed five players already. It might be a look at outgoings over the next few weeks as well. There's talk about Youssef Chermiti potentially going to Lyon, some other players. Nico Raskin has been talked about potentially moving away. Emmanuel Fernandez, Tello Asgard's been linked, so that'll be an interesting one to look at over the next few days.
Yeah, well, Raskin has shown up well for Belgium in the World Cup, as has Asgard for his country. Speculation. In the absence of hard and fast information, there's always speculation. Chermiti out, Lewis Ferguson in. Would you buy that one?
Interesting. What about the Scotland job? Because we've had a lot of calls this week of people saying that the Scotland job should go to Ange Postecoglou, that the SFA should be asking the question of Ange Postecoglou. I'm not quite sure where this all started and who first brought up the suggestion, but it really caught fire. But today is the end of that speculation. In the last hour or so, Ange Postecoglou has been announced as the new Al Nassr manager. So he's going to be managing Cristiano Ronaldo. I'm not sure how realistic him becoming Scotland manager was at any point, but anyone that did want him to become Scotland manager is going to have to think of a different option now.
Money and football are indivisible, Andrew. Ange Postecoglou has gone to the desert for a fortune. And he was never going to take the Scotland job because there are no fortunes available there. Davy Moyes is the name that's most frequently heard after Ange, and I don't think he leaves the English Premier League and the money he's on at Everton to become the Scotland manager either. So Mike Mulroney, the SFA president, and the chief exec, Ian Maxwell, they've got a big job on their hands.
Have you got any names on the tip of your tongue you think could be the next Scotland manager?
Yeah, Gordon Dale.
Yeah,
yeah. Get
is that why he's
here.
Taking the next 3 weeks off?
Well, he's a
disappearing
pest.
Just to practice.
Yeah, he's a pest in here. So the sooner we get him off to the SFA to be a pest there, the better.
I actually realised while listening to the news into this show why Gordon DL is off, because it's Taylor Swift's wedding today, and who else to give wedding advice to Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce than the man who has had more weddings than anyone else?
Yeah,
it all makes sense now.
Well, Taylor has invited 1,100 of our closest friends to Madison Square Garden for the wedding. So if the dazzler there, it serves you right, Tay-Tay.
Right, I think that's enough talk about Taylor Swift's wedding. Let's get back on to Scottish football, the stuff we love debating, arguing about. Rarely does anyone agree on anything, but that's why we love it so much. 0141 951 1025 on the phone. Celtic fans, how are you feeling? There is a pretty concrete link for you today. It had all been quite quiet on the transfer front, but Camilo Duran is the man that could be coming in. There are reports that Celtic have put in an offer. The initial one has been rejected, but it seems that the clubs may be in a position where they could meet somewhere in the middle and he could be the first name through the door. So does that fill you with a bit of promise? Is that the sort of level of player that you'd be looking to bring in? What else needs to be done? Is that an area that Celtic need to strengthen? And Rangers fans, what about Youssef Chermiti? Because I think halfway through the season, a lot of Rangers fans would have gladly taken any type of money for Yusuf Tchermiti, whatever they'd paid for him last summer, just to recoup that. But talk about Lyon, talk about a fee of around £17 million. Do you think that Rangers should take that money? Do you think they'd get that type of money for him? Or did he show enough in the latter stages of the season that you want to see him stay? Motherwell fans, a double signing for you today. How are you feeling with life at with Alfred Johansson at the wheel? And any thoughts on the Scotland job, of course, we will take them. It's not going to be Ange Postecoglou, but who is it going to be? 0141 951 1025. Let's speak to Josh, who's a Celtic fan on the line first. How's it going, Josh?
Right, Andrew, how are you, mate?
Not too bad, thanks. What's on your mind tonight?
Yeah, so as far as the Rangers transfer things going so far, I think, you know, they've made some statement signings. They've done probably the sensible thing. You know, they thought that the fact that Hart's kind of bridged the gap last season. Well, they, you know, they almost won the title, didn't they? So they've took someone who's got Rangers connections as well. I think that's been sort of vital for them, you know, to get someone back that understands the Rangers way and the Rangers culture. The best forward in Scottish football has gone there as well off the back of it. So, you know, promising signs from a Rangers point of view. That, you know, they're not going to be all so around this season. They'd want it to go back to, you know, closing that gap between, you know, getting ahead of Hearts first of all, but then closing the gap to Celtic. I think from a Celtic point of view, they've kind of took things a bit slower, but you know, they've tied Martin down to that contract. That's a vital importance for me anyway, from a Celtic man, you know, because if it isn't broke, don't fix it to some degree. But they need to kind of up that ante and, you know, get some players in, because man, just at the moment, you know, the squad looks better, the mood around the club's probably better. Better management and better structure. But you know, Celtic need to start getting some signings in, I think, because you know, you can't stand still, can you, by the same token.
I'm glad, Josh, you haven't gone down the sarcastic road of saying, ah, look at the players Rangers have signed, Ben Godfrey, you know, who wants him? Well, Derek McInnes for one. Don't go down the sarcastic road. Ask questions of your club and never mind the one across the road. You know, Celtic have gone to Azerbaijan, which is not common territory for Scottish clubs. But even there in Azerbaijan, they've tried to lowball the team. First offer, rejected. Always the way with Celtic. Every transfer is torture. And Josh is right. You know, you can't diminish what Rangers have done. Even Hearts, I think Hearts are up to 8 new players. Now, I know that all of that has to come together under a new manager into the bargain, but clubs do appear to be gearing up for next season. And yes, Martin O'Neill coming with Sean Maloney and Mark Fotheringham was essential, but it cannot be denied that Celtic, by the time the season starts, unless they get their finger out, will have a threadbare squad.
Josh, what do you make of the link to Camilo Duran? Because probably the standout that I think people would look at for him last season was the fact he scored 5 goals in the Champions League phase. He scored against Benfica, Newcastle, Ajax, got a couple against Eintracht Frankfurt. Does that fill you with a bit of promise that he could come in and score some goals for Celtic?
Yeah, well, you need to try and find some rough diamonds as well, don't you? Because the likes of Celtic and Rangers, they have been massive in the past where they have that pulling power for players. But I think they, you know, the Scottish League in general isn't up to the standard of some of the other leagues. So, you know, you have to be smarter with the recruitment decisions. You know, if Celtic are looking at someone with that pedigree, then, you know, says an awful lot about, you know, this season compared to last season in terms of being front-footed and actively looking for signings rather than waiting till the last minute to get them in the door. The Champions League qualifier last season was testament to that, wasn't it? Kind of set the club back by going out of that. So, you know, you have to have all of that in mind. And, you know, from a fan's point of view, know that they haven't got massive budgets or endless.
The club a year ago issued a statement, unsigned, of course, but they issued a statement to apologise for the way the transfer window had gone in the aftermath of going out of the Champions League to Kirat Almaty.
I think Michael Nicholson was quoted as well not long afterwards saying that they did make mistakes and they would learn from them, but some Celtic fans would, I assume, argue the fact that they didn't learn from them in the January window, they now need to see the evidence of this window if Celtic are going to learn from it.
They very much did not learn from them in the January transfer window, because everyone who came in January was nowhere to be seen by the end of the season when Martin O'Neill was desperately trying to win the title. You know, the pedigree of Camilo Duran, 5 goals in the Champions League, sounds good. But why must Celtic always try and get players on the cheap?
I suppose it is. It's just the way the market is, though. You see it down in England quite a lot, you know, following Sky Sports News and whatever else. The big clubs will do it as well. You put in an offer just to kind of see where you are, where the other club is, and then you tend to meet in the middle. It's not just Celtic that are putting in offers that are lower. It maybe just seems a bit more evident the way, you know, the fact it's been reported and it's out there, and the fact that Celtic haven't made a signing maybe heightens it a little bit. But I don't think it's that uncommon for clubs to have an initial bid, an initial inquiry knocked back, and then to try and meet somewhere in the middle.
But it's the length of time it takes Celtic to do anything. You know, for example, Rangers allowed Jack Butland to go to Hull, and they take Hull's goalkeeper, who's currently with Croatia in the World Cup in America. It's all done, matter of days, no fuss. Everything that Celtic do is one long, tortuous affair.
Well, thank you to Josh. What about John, who's a Celtic fan in Greenock? John, what are you thinking?
There's been 30 players signed up to now for the SPL, and we're sitting bottom of the league. We've not signed anybody. The transfer quality is abysmal. Abysmal. That's what it is. It's been doing that for about 30, 40 years. It's abysmal. I just don't know who takes it up for this up at Parkhead. They're signing guys last season for £5 million. Never kicked the ball. £5 million it cost Celtic. He'll not be playing again. It's just abysmal. They got out of jail. They got out of jail last year. That's what they did. Out of jail. Their signing policy, once again, coming up to the Champions League. We need players. There's guys in Manida maybe going, Hatate, maybe another couple, Ingles and that. It's abysmal. Two new strips come out last week. Their season ticket money's £40 million, up about £40. They're just knocking the pair out. That's my point tonight, mate.
Well, John, I suppose if someone from Celtic were to come on this programme, and it will never happen, but if someone from Celtic were to come on the programme, they would say, Celtic have won 14 of the last 15 titles. Undeniably true, statistically correct. But you cannot keep hoping, as John said, to bluff your way to a title, as they did last season, and they really owed the trio of Maloney, Fotheringham and O'Neill for getting them across the line, along with, I would suggest, Daizen Maeda in the closing stages of the Premiership. But they are a calendar month away from their first game.
That's it, and Celtic may well, especially when the first Champions League qualifier comes around, which is a few days after the league season starts, Celtic may well have a few bodies in the door by then, and they might have a stronger team than last season. But just the way the last couple of transfer windows have gone, you can't blame Celtic fans for being sceptical that might not be the case. No.
As John said, Michel-Ange Balakwisha, £5 million, got 45 minutes, and Martin O'Neill took a look at him and thought, not for me, thank you. So what's to happen with Balakwisha? Do you just write off £5 million, or can Martin O'Neill somehow find a player in there? It's, you know, when Ross Desmond addressed the AGM of shareholders 6 or 7 months ago, he promised all manner of things, sent over with a note from his daddy to tell the shareholders meeting that there was going to be improvements to the stadium, they were going to bring in analytics, they were going to do this, that and the next thing. Nothing. And as John said, you get strips, you get season tickets, you get offers to buy tickets for pre-season friendlies against Middlesbrough and AC Milan, but players, none.
John, what are the emergency areas, do you feel? What are the areas in the squad that Martin O'Neill has to address first or quickly?
Well, I know goal scorer, because if I lost my need, that's us. I'm not going to get any goals. The midfield and another keeper. But it's not good. Me, everybody's got a gaff at the answer in life. See up at Parkhead, they can do as many wonders as they want and nothing happens to them. That's been going on for years. Nothing happens to these guys that cost your team millions of pounds. Nothing happens to them. Look at their dividends at the end of the season and a whole lot. As I say, nothing happens to them, but that's shocking as well. Nothing happens to them.
I wonder when it comes to, you know, Celtic in the transfer window, there has been quite a bit of disruption over the last few weeks. Martin O'Neill, it took quite a long time for him to get signed up. It then took even longer for Sean Maloney and Mark Fotheringham to get signed up. Celtic still don't have a a sporting director or a head of recruitment or someone in that type of role, could those things be hurting Celtic and trying to get players through the door?
Without question. As I say, Dermot Desmond's son, 7 months ago, promised there would be all manner of futuristic things happening at Celtic Park, including an upgrade on the stadium itself. Nothing. Not one thing has happened. And if it takes you 5 weeks to get Martin O'Neill, the man who brought you the unlikeliest title in many a decade, if it takes you 5 weeks to get Martin organised, and even longer to get Maloney and Fotheringham, if you're trying to lowball your own staff, what must it be like when Celtic try to negotiate with other clubs in other countries?
John, are you resigned to losing Dyson Maeda? Do you still have a bit of hope he could stay on?
No, I think he's away, mate. I think he's away. I will miss him, but as I say, it's not good at Parkhead Easton. But we're loyal. That's what the Celtic directors know. We're loyal. We'll still go in there, even though they're not the territories. We'll still go buy your season tickets, buy your strips, buy your if I don't take any friendly games, I'm not going to any of them.
Well, one guy did go, and that was the chairman, Peter Lowell, and that was the fault of an element of the Celtic supporters who made his personal life a living hell. So I think some Celtic supporters would be delighted if Peter Lowell came back.
Well, thank you to John, 01419511025, if you want to continue that conversation, if you want to bring something else up, or if you want to play this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Your chance to take on Hugh Keevans at Beat the Pundit. Get ringing now, 01419511025. Ring that number during the break and you could be up next.
01419511025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans here with me, Andrew McLean, on Clyde One Super Scoreboard. We want to hear from you from now until 7 o'clock. You can get your thoughts in. We've had a couple of Celtic fans on about the transfer activity, or maybe lack of transfer activity so far in this window. Rangers fans interested to hear from you. What about Youssef Chermiti? Links in France that Lyon could be interested. Do you think it's time to cash in? Do you think there's way more to come from him and you'd rather hold on to him? You can let us know. What about Motherwell making a double signing? Ange Postecoglou now completely out of the Scotland equation. He's got a new job, so maybe you want to talk about that. 01419511025. We'll play this first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Well, Gordon Dalziel signed off with a defeat last night before he goes on his strange hiatus that he's taking from the show, but he's not telling anyone why he's not going to be here for the next 3 weeks.
I thought his excuse was wonderful. Before it started, he said he wanted to lose just to show a bit of humility.
We just knew that was him getting an excuse in early in case he did lose. And then he did lose.
Yeah.
And then I think he said that he was almost... Did he say that he was maybe going to drop the sign ball off at his opponent's house and then realise he lived in Falkirk and that was never going to happen?
But he can't, because he's now doing the slosh at Taylor Swift's wedding.
That is true, right. It's going to be Ryan in Bishop Briggs. Ryan, have you played before?
Yeah, I have. I played around Dalton. I played it about a year ago.
Who did you face?
I actually can't remember. I think it may have been Kenny Miller.
Okay. Did you win?
I won the same ball.
All right, okay. So Ryan's got a winning record to defend here. How are you feeling, Hugh? You're on all right form. I think during the summer you've got 3 wins, 1 defeat.
Oh, I'll settle for that.
It's pretty positive.
Yeah. Do me.
Have you been doing your research this week?
No.
No, not at all?
No.
Oh, well, we'll see how you get on against Ryan. We'll put something else in the ear of Hugh Keevans so he can't hear us. For you, Ryan, it's 30 seconds on the clock to answer as many questions as you can. Remember, you can pass if that helps you out. Is that all good?
Yeah, perfect.
Let's do it. Who's the only Premiership side with a musical instrument on their badge?
St Johnston.
Which Scottish side begged Taylor Swift to invest in their club in 2024?
Motherwell.
Name the only Championship player, Scottish Championship player, still at the World Cup.
Pass.
Who was the last permanent Scotland manager to have not managed a current side in the SPFL?
Okay.
Right, we will bring Hugh Keevans back in. Can you hear us, Hugh?
I can.
Right, 30 seconds on the clock for you. Let's go. Who is the only Premiership side with a musical instrument on their badge?
Hibs.
Which Scottish side begged Taylor Swift to invest in their club in 2024?
Kilmarnock.
Name the only Scottish Championship player still at the World Cup.
Pass.
Who was the last permanent Scotland manager to have not managed a club side in the SPFL?
Bertie Vogts.
Rangers signed Nico Raskin from which Belgian team?
Oh, Beerschot.
Okay, how do you think it went, Ryan?
I think it's close, but I think you might have beaten me by one.
Right, we'll go through them and see who is the only Premiership side, or who are the only Premiership side with a musical instrument on their badge. Ryan went for St Johnston. You went for Hibs. What would that instrument be?
I thought it might have been a harp.
It is a harp. It goes 1-0 to Hugh Keevans. That is a good answer from you. Which Scottish side begged Taylor Swift to invest in their club in 2024? Do you remember this?
I now think it's Motherwell, not Kilmarnock.
Well, Ryan said Motherwell and got it correct. Ah. So it goes 1-1. Name the only Scottish Championship player still at the World Cup. Neither of you got it. Tete Yenge of Livingston. He was out on loan second half of last season, wasn't he? So maybe not as easy to remember, but it remains 1-1. Who was the last permanent Scotland manager to have not managed a club side in the SPFL? Ryan knew he got it wrong because he panicked and then he said Craig Levein. You went for Bertie Vogts, which is correct. 2-1 to Hugh Keevans. And that was it for Ryan. You got one more question in, Hugh. Rangers signed Nico Raskin from which Belgian side? You said Beerschot, but it is Standard Liège. So it's a narrow win, but a win nonetheless for Hugh Keevans.
Nice game, Ryan.
Yeah, it was a good game. Good game. I did have one. As soon as you said Hibs, I knew it straight away. Kicking myself for that one.
I should have said Motherwell. I'm kicking myself now. I remember the video.
Yeah.
Because it was a nice bit of cheek.
Mm-hmm. Didn't quite work out. She didn't fancy it. But Motherwell did all right last season without Taylor Swift's backing.
Yeah. They're really interesting now, Motherwell, because they have so many, you know, Masmanisi, Just, Watt, you know, how many of those players will be at Fir Park for Albert Johansson in the season upcoming?
Ryan, who's your team?
Rangers.
How are you feeling about the transfer window so far? Five signings in the door.
It's good that we're getting our business done early. It gets, well, obviously there's some players that are still to return from the World Cup, but it gets the players in really early and it gets them kind of used to the surroundings and used to how the manager and the rest of the squad like.
What are your thoughts on Youssef Tchermiti? Because the big story today, a French publication, Foot Mercato, are saying that Lyon are interested, maybe looking to table a bid of around £17 million. What camp are you in? I've seen some Rangers fans saying that they would take that money. I've seen some other Rangers fans saying that they maybe feel he's got the potential to kick on next season.
I think £17 million is a good fee for Youssef Tchermiti after one season. I think there is the potential that he could go and kick on, but there's also the potential that he doesn't have as good a season and his value goes down the way. So if it's £17 million, then I'd be happy to see that be invested in the team.
I have to say, Ryan, I think given the reaction when Tchermiti came from Everton, it was entirely hostile and Kevin Thelwell got all the criticism in the world and left soon after. But I still see this bicycle kick against Celtic at Ibrox and think, this guy, I mean, and you know, now he's in encouraging offers of almost twice what Rangers paid for him, you know. So out of a first season in which he was really criticised by the fans and Rangers finished third, 10 points behind Celtic, to attract that kind of financial offer for Tchermiti, I think is outstanding business if you can do it.
I wonder what Kevin Thelwell is thinking, because he has been linked, Tchermiti has been linked with, you know, a move that could be way more than what Rangers paid for him. Yeah. There was talk about Emmanuel Fernandez potentially leaving. There was talk about Telo Asgard being linked with a move to Italy. These were all signings that were criticised very early on that led to Kevin Thelwell leaving. Well, and now they're all players that could potentially turn a profit. Clubs need to bid first for that to happen.
As you know, I speak as the king of the premature and daft prediction. And I think some Rangers fans are in that boat with me, because they wrote off Tchermiti and they wrote off Thelwell. And Thelwell was dumped by 49ers Enterprises. But he's left Rangers with a player that they might make a 100% profit on, and he's only been there for less than one season.
Ryan, just finally, what about Lewis Ferguson? Dennett McInnes was asked about Lewis Ferguson yesterday, said he knew that the links were natural, just given the fact that, you know, Lewis Ferguson and his family background at Rangers, he's worked with Dennett McInnes before. Is that something you'd like to see happen? Do you think it's possible?
Yeah, I'd love to see it happen. Growing up, obviously his uncle Barry was my hero, so to get Lewis in would be brilliant. Whether it happens or not is a completely different story. I think there'd have to be a lot of outgoing business, such as getting a big fee for Chirmiti, Hernandez, and potentially Raskin to then help fund not only Lewis's transfer fee, but then the wages that he would be looking for as well would be huge, considering some of the other clubs that are interested in him.
Does that one hinge on outgoings for you as well, Pugh? Yeah. Because the figures that are being quoted, I mean, I think if it's up to 17 million, that looks like it would be out of reach, surely. But if there was maybe a middle ground to be found, it would still need to be a record fee, you'd think, for Rangers, which would be big, big money.
Yeah, but you can offset that big money with outgoings. And I think we always speak about marquee signings, statement signings. I think if Rangers get someone from Bologna, Serie A, who has clearly made his way in Italian football quickly, effectively, I think there is your statement signing right there.
Thank you to Ryan. What about Bill, who's a Celtic fan in Jordan Hill? What have you got for us tonight, Bill?
Well, I've been a Celtic fan for 70 years, from the age of 16. I'm now in my 80s. I feel that Martin O'Neill has been made various promises that money would be available to him in order to buy players. It seems that there's a progression from year to year with Celtic, that nothing has materialised until the very end. And I think it's time Martin made a stance. I think the people will be behind him, and he should tell them, either cough up or I'm off.
I think you make a very, very salient point, Bill, because I can think of nothing that will drive a wedge between Martin O'Neill and Celtic than a ridiculous transfer window which leaves him with a threadbare squad out of the Champions League and a fan base in torment. So I think you make the cleverest point of all, that this is going to affect Martin O'Neill's relationship with Dermot Desmond. He's twice helped Dermot Desmond out of a hole when Brendan Rodgers and Dermot Desmond parted company. When Celtic then went through the mad idea of bringing in Wilfred Nancy, Martin O'Neill came back a second time to bail them out of trouble. He is entitled to think that he will be backed in a proper business-like fashion. And Bill, you and I will have to wait and see, because, as I say, there's a month left before Celtic play Dundee. But if the window is a shambles between now and then, and Martin O'Neill is left hanging out to dry, there's trouble ahead.
I was just looking at the quotes from Dermot Desmond when Martin O'Neill was officially announced a few weeks ago, and the last quote, he says, "The club will support Martin fully again across the close season to make sure we are well prepared to achieve domestic success and compete on the European stage." So the pledge is there in black and white,
yeah.
And it's now just about putting it into action.
The pledge is there. The reality is they've gone to Azerbaijan to try and get a player, and the club in Azerbaijan have said, not enough money. It's the Celtic way.
Bill, do you have faith that it will be a successful transfer window? How much concern have you got that it might not go the way that Martin O'Neill would want?
I have no faith in the current people who are in charge at Celtic Park. I made the point some months ago on Radio Clyde that if Dermot Desmond's chief executives at the various companies they own were as poor as the one we currently have at Celtic Park, their feet wouldn't touch the ground. I believe, or I've heard, that shares are being bought up in Celtic at the moment, which is forcing up the price. And is this possible, that someone is going to come in order to buy the club?
Well, I'm on record on this programme and in print as saying that I think Celtic would be better off with someone now other than Dermot Desmond. And I do readily acknowledge that under Dermot Desmond, Celtic have been phenomenally successful on a domestic level. But at the moment, he seems to be running the club in a way that is at odds with the people who support the club. And between now and the start of the season, if Celtic do a Karat Almaty again, then someone, somewhere, has to hold their hands up and say, we're making a mess of this.
The way that AGM went last year and the way that Ross Desmond addressed the shareholders didn't really seem like a family that are looking to sell up, did they? He seemed very passionate. He seemed that their heart is still very much in it.
Yep, you're 100% correct. However, at the moment, they seem to lack any sense of direction as a club. You know, all around them, clubs are being modernised. I'm baffled. Bill and I are of a vintage where you're baffled by all the things that baffle Martin O'Neill, XG and all the other stuff that is no part of our world. But analytics are a big part of the game now. And Celtic just seem to be being left behind. And the last couple of transfer windows have been not just an embarrassment to the supporters, an insult to the supporters who pay extremely big money to finance Celtic on an annual basis. The majority of the money that finances Celtic on an annual basis comes from the fans.
Well, thank you to Bill, 0141 951 1025 on the phones. We've got one more part for you to get your calls in, and I'll tell you about this.
Cruise down the Clyde with 101 convenience stores. Open all day, every day.
Yeah, you could be in for an unforgettable night on the water as Clyde One and Cash for Kids bring you Cruise Down the Clyde. We're setting sail on board the iconic Waverley Paddle Steamer with DJ sets upstairs from the likes of Cassie, Gary Spence, Callum Gallagher and George Bowie bringing you the GBX. Downstairs, Grant Thompson will be going head-to-head with Stephen Mill in a DJ battle. It's happening on Friday, the 31st of July. It's all to help children in Ayrshire, Glasgow and the West. But you need to be quick. We are down to our final few tickets because over 90% of them have already been sold. So if you fancy a night of partying and raising money at the same time, you can get your tickets now at clyde1.com/cashforkids. Cruise Down the Clyde is brought to you all thanks to 101 convenience stores.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Into the final part of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Hugh Keevan's here with me, Andrew McLean. You can get your calls in 0141 951 1025. We'll go back to the phone line shortly. One thing I did want to touch on, you were talking before the break about you and Bill being of a certain vintage, yeah, and talking about XG and all that. What did you make of the Portugal-Croatia game last night being decided by a snickometer?
Yeah, I do not think football was meant to be about that. I think it's a technology too far. Also, it's the World Cup finals. You know, we're still arguing about a throw-in at Fir Park and its effect on the outcome of our title race. But, I mean, it's the World Cup finals here. And, you know, I've listened to former players condemn it all as, you know, it's not in the spirit of football as I understand it.
To have a waveform essentially deciding that Croatia don't get extra time in, yeah, their game, because if people didn't see it, it was a Croatia scored a goal. It was then a debate about whether a Croatia player had touched the ball in the build-up, which then would have made a player offside. And I feel like it wasn't really something that was talked about too much going into the tournament. The, yeah, fact that these new World Cup footballs have a microchip in them,
yeah,
and can essentially sense through waveform technology whether the ball has been touched or not. I've watched it quite a few times. It doesn't look as if the ball was touched, no, by anyone, but I don't know. The snickometer clearly knows more than I do.
I went to one of my grandchildren's prize-giving day in his school, and to my amazement, the teacher who was leading the proceedings was Nick Walsh. I didn't know that Nick was a teacher. And I was saying to him after, you know, on this programme and in several newspapers, people were saying, no Scottish referees at the World Cup. That shows you how bad they are Well, there have been some pretty bad decisions made in this World Cup. So I think ruling out Scottish referees because of the country of origin is not fair.
Let's go back to the phones. Ray is in Orkney and is a Celtic fan. Ray, how are you?
I am very well. How are you guys?
Good, thank you.
Only thing I would like to say a couple of things.
Go for it.
Okay. First of all, to all Celtic fans, don't panic. Please don't panic.
You feel that people are getting a bit too worked up about the fact there's been no signing so far, Ray?
I think there's a bit of hysteria going on just now. It's only been a couple of weeks since the transfer window opened, and we're all cracking up because of the last two windows. Now, Celtic haven't spent 1p, 1p in 2026. We all know that. But with the sales of the new players going out, I mean, Maeda's going, Engo's going, you know, Negan's probably going, Hatate's going. I think we are just having a bit of money in the bank to probably get a few decent players in. And I think don't panic is the answer.
I'm not sure that people are panicking. People are frustrated. You've said yourself that in 2026, not a penny spent. That's unacceptable, surely, for a club like Celtic, who have more than £70 million in the bank. They are stagnating. When Hatate goes and Engels and Maeda and Negrin, who scored 21 goals last season, you are severely diminishing the strength of the squad. And the squad that won the League and Cup double wasn't that great to begin with. So I think frustration is allowable. Bewilderment is allowable. And today, symbolically, Celtic become the only team in the Premiership not to have signed a player in the three weeks of the transfer window. So, no panic, Ray, but bewilderment's allowable.
A week is a long time in football, Ray. Celtic have four of them until the first league match, have about five of them until the first Champions League qualifier. Are you confident that Celtic are just going to get the business done in that period, that there's not anything to worry about?
Not only not to panic, but you've got, sorry, just to interject with Hugh there, look at the past. Look at the past 20 years. We need to just stop panicking. We are the best team in Scotland, we're the most successful team in Scotland, we're the richest team in Scotland. Martin O'Neill was given a little break to consider these options. He came back. There was obviously a little low balling with the staff and Maloney, etc. They get that because it was a different contract. We get that as well. But end of the day, Celtic will strengthen and they will still be the best and most impressive team in Scotland because we have the money to do so.
Because two things can be true though, Ray. Celtic can be the dominant force in Scottish football and can be winning most of the trophies, but surely supporters can still strive for more and push for more if they feel that the transfer windows haven't been up to scratch. And then it comes down to European football as well. It's not just, you know, wanting to dominate on the domestic front. It's about wanting to make more of a mark in the Champions League. Do you see that side of it, that it might just be some supporters just wanting the club to do as best as they possibly can and not resting on laurels?
To be fair, I absolutely agree with that as well. But also feel that we actually got that far with towards the Bayern Munich game. We've pushed them so far.
But then is the problem that the season after that Celtic couldn't get past Qaira Almaty?
Yeah.
So it's not then, like, the board, you want to build from a position of strength.
But the board failed, and the board failed again in the next transfer window with a bunch of loans, etc. But I think it's just different this season. I just think they're just taking a wee bit of time. They're looking to see the whole cloudy waters kind of getting clearer. And then we're going to get help with a few transfers coming in that are going to short Scottish football.
But do you not get a sense of deja vu, Ray?
A wee bit.
Qaira Almaty. We spent the month up to the Qaira Almaty tie saying, surely. And no, nobody came in.
Won that game.
Well, the ifs and buts are too late because Qaira Almaty happened and it'll happen again this season unless something dramatic happens.
No, No, it's not going to happen at all. There's going to be a few... We're all panicking just now, and myself, I will admit. But I think we just have to chill. Just let the club do what they're doing. They're not going to be stagnated this season at all. They can see Hearts are strengthening. Rangers are strengthening. They've got Lawrence Shankland. You know, they're looking at even Lewis Ferguson. You know, they've got Derek McInnes there. You know, money.
Celtic, still do not have a head of recruitment. That side of the club's business has stagnated. They promised a more modern approach. Nothing has happened.
And it might be a case of, you know, Martin O'Neill, we talked about the fact he didn't know what his future held towards the end of last season. He and his staff would have been hyper-focused on just getting through what initially was a turbulent period, turning it into a successful season. There was a lot of effort put into that maybe they didn't really have the time to do any forward planning and didn't have any guarantee that they were going to be there next season. So it might just be a case of they're now having to get their feet back under the desk now, and it will just take a bit longer because they've not been able to do any forward planning. And as you say, with no obvious head of recruitment, then that maybe just doesn't help the equation.
Those in charge appointed Wilfred Nancy. Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, I rest my case.
Ray, just before we finish up, you listed quite a lot of players you expect to leave. Are you quite certain on that, then, the guys that you've said that they will be going?
Engo's going, Hatate's going, Maeda's going. I think Alistair Johnson could go.
Because that's a huge rebuilding job, Ray, isn't it, if all those players leave?
Yeah.
Ray, if they don't get the finger out, you'll be joined in Orkney by several thousand Celtic supporters looking for asylum.
Well, this is a gorgeous island, to be honest. Check, and we welcome everybody.
Check! Check!
Called you, check.
Hey! It's a joke.
I think he's just trying to cover himself there.
Of course he has. Heard it.
Anyway, thank you to Chick alongside me. It's been a good hour. Thank you to Ray on the phone. But most importantly, as always, thank you to you for listening along. Thanks for getting involved on the phones, on social media, watching along on the live stream. We'll be back again next week to do it all over again. We'll see what transpires over the weekend. Is there going to be any more confirmed transfers? We're also going to be a few days closer to the Premier Sports Cup group stages starting. It is just over a week until the competitive action in Scotland is back, which is pretty crazy to think, considering the fact that the World Cup is not even close to being over, so there will be a lot to talk about next week. And as always, the perfect way to kick off your weekend, George Bowie with the GBX up next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard.